With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Today, I'm joined by the Washington Post, Nikki Javala, and Sam 48 as we go over Washington's draft class. Nikki provides some really good insight into linebacker Jamin Davis. She wrote an in-depth story on him recently that you should check out. We discuss which players stand out, who intrigues us the most, and has the door closed on Ryan Kerrigan's return. It's really hard to say how good a draft class is or isn't until they play. Not into giving grades. On paper, it looks good here, but I've seen a lot of things that have looked good here on paper over the years. I like that there has been an adherence to the culture building the past two off seasons, and it's continued this weekend. I do think as far as culture goes, sometimes that word gets thrown around a little bit too much, but it is important and they've stuck to that. I like the mentality of this group from Davis to Sam Cosmi to, and you know, who is a good athlete for people who read the analysis, whatever, and Benjamin St. Juice, among others. That matters. I'm intrigued most by the receiver from North Carolina, De'Ami Brown, because of how he can expand the offense's versatility. We'll get into all that during our conversation. The other thing is this offense is going to be better than last year, and they don't have their quarterback of the future, but this offense should be a lot better because of that added speed and the versatility of what those receivers can do. They're not all the same kind of guy. I'm not surprised at all that they did not draft a quarterback. I do know that I told you all along that there are guys that they liked. And I felt like they, and I do know that what I've heard along is that, and what they've said publicly too, is that they'd like to find that person, but they're not in a rush to do it. It could take a year or two. I've heard that phrase often. I definitely know there were QBs they liked in this draft, but the guy for the future is someone you have to love. So they will keep building that roster and try again next year. And it also didn't make sense. You reach a certain point in the draft where if you don't think that guy can beat out the guys on your roster, there's no use drafting him. So it's not just about finding a quarterback. It's about finding the right quarterback. Build that roster and drop him in. That is the strategy that they're going to keep to. So, it could take a year, could take another 2 years, or could take two more years. But I'm going to get all that. And I'm going to get into all that for an article later this week on ESPN.com. So check that out. And over the next week or several weeks, I'll be bringing you insight into these picks from coaches or writers or the players themselves. So keep listening, folks. I appreciate it. Okay, that's enough from me. After this break, I'll be back with Nikki Javala and Sam 48 from The Washington Post.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey everyone, I want to tell you about a fun new offer from Monkey Knife Fight that can enhance any sports experience, whether you're at a game, on your couch, or in a bar. It's a daily fantasy sports league that is easy to play. You can sign up on monkeyknifefight.com using promo code JKR and play games such as More or Less. Will an NBA player score more or less than a listed point total? You can do the same in baseball. Will a pitcher have more or less strikeouts than a given amount, etc.? It's fun, and every Friday it's Home Run Derby, bet on three guys who hit home runs that night. All three hit one, you share in the prize pool. Every week you can participate in their Eagle Eye jackpot based on the PGA Tour. Choose from any sport, from NASCAR to UFC and League of Legends. And of course, once football rolls back around, there will be even more fun prop bets. This is daily sports betting designed for the average fan to use their knowledge and have some fun. Sign up now at monkeyknifefight.com and use promo code JKR. That's promo code JKR. Welcome back. Now here's my conversation with Nikki and Sam. All right, well, it's been a long weekend for everybody. For you guys, I was dealing with my son's graduation, so you guys are monitoring this like every minute of this weekend. So I am curious, let's start with your initial thoughts on their, I'm not asking for grades, just initial thoughts on how this weekend went for Washington.
I thought it went pretty well. I think this year is tougher for the team, but also tougher for us covering it just because I don't feel like I know as much about the guys in the latter rounds, just like they probably felt like they didn't. So it's tough to kind of gauge how they really did. I felt like they hit a number of their biggest needs, which was big, you know, the getting Jamin Davis, probably a three down linebacker to start. Sam Cosmi, you know, you got possibly, hopefully your left tackle. You know, I thought they added some interesting pieces to the secondary that could be versatile. They, you know, hit a number of their Ron Rivera themes, as I call it, just in terms of speed, versatility, character. So I think on paper, it looks pretty good, but, you know, there have been other signings, other classes that have looked pretty good and don't always pan out once you hit the field.
Yeah, to me, this was just another example in the blueprint of we are going to build all of our pieces, we're going to build our team, and we're going to go find that quarterback later. And I don't just mean in the fact that they didn't draft a quarterback. I mean that in the way that they've kind of approached the two free agencies and the previous draft when Ron Rivera was here. They didn't necessarily swing big on the big name other than obviously Chase Young, but it's been a very steady, understated process. And I think that when you look at, you know, Samuel Cosmi or, you know, Benjamin St. Juice, like those type of guys, maybe understated, but fit this program. And really, I think it just follows the mold of, hey, we're going to build this a complete, well-rounded team, and we're going to go find that quarterback later that could put us in contention for a possible deep playoff run.
And I want, Nikki, I want to get to your story on Jamin Davis in a minute because I think you have some good insight there. But sticking with Sam, with what you were talking about too, and there is a patient approach to building this that I think has been evident. Are you at all surprised by that? Are either one of you guys surprised by that, Sam?
This is my second year covering the team, but from everything that I've read and heard, this is maybe a surprising approach in that they're not swinging big on the biggest names on the market. And really, I think, you know, this even goes back to free agency, Ron's first free agency, when, you know, Austin Hooper, the tight end, was seen as the big name, but you go with Logan Thomas instead. I mean, this to me is, I would say it's surprising given franchise history. I would say it's not maybe when you look back at, you know, the way that Carolina was built when Ron was there. So I guess to me it makes sense. And whether it works out, whether, you know, Ron tries to keep that window open too long when it does open, I mean, those are all questions for much later. But I guess in the initial part of this rebuild, it makes sense to me at least.
Yeah, I wasn't terribly surprised. Just kind of looking at the guys they signed last year and who they felt really good about from Logan Thomas. I know they like J.D. McKissic. You know, a lot of guys that were generally unheralded signings in free agency, and same for some of the guys in the draft too. They kind of built their way up through guys that they believed could contribute in multiple ways and could find production. You know, where maybe they weren't given opportunities elsewhere. I think there are a lot of similarities to what Buffalo is doing. Now, Buffalo in year two, they went out and got their quarterback, but they traded up to number seven for that. And like Sam said, Ron has mentioned, you know, they want to kind of build around that position and then bring in their guy once the full team is ready. And it seems like a common sense approach, but so many teams don't do that. You know, and their younger quarterback or their less experienced quarterback is thrown into the fire and kind of gets killed, you know, be it behind a shoddy offensive line or not having many offensive weapons. So it seems like a sound approach. And, you know, I thought we saw a noticeable improvement in year one with Ron Rivera, and you know, by adding more pieces, clearly the thinking is they'll take steady improvement until they can find that long-term guy at quarterback.
Hey, Nikki, we'll get to other stuff, but Jamin Davis, and you had some insight into him because you did wrote a good story about him. It was a couple weeks ago, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So for people who want to go check it out, Google Jamin Davis, Washington Post, a couple weeks ago. What did you, when you were writing that story in the process of reporting it, what did you learn that, I mean, maybe you didn't learn a lot of things surprising, but what were the things that you came away with from having learned about, that you learned about him?
I learned that this guy was basically tailor-made for what Ron Rivera was looking for. You know, the more I learned about him and, you know, his upbringing, who he was as a person, kind of his mentality, some of the things he did to get where he is, he was a three-star recruit coming out of high school, was just a reserve, primarily a special teamer his first three seasons. And then he steps into a starting role, another linebacker at Kentucky, was lost indefinitely. He suffered a stroke. So Jamin gets opportunity there and he lights it up. I mean, this is a kid that came to Kentucky weighing all of like 195 pounds. And now he's this 235 pound kind of hulk of a human, but he can do multiple things. He's kind of that coveted three down linebacker that, you know, he can cover. He's got speed. He's, you know, hard hitting tackler. But he's also, you know, you think about the things that Rivera likes and that he's kind of drawn to, you know, his parents are both Army veterans. This is a kid that's worked for every single thing he's gotten. You talk to people that are close to him, they tell you what a great guy he is before, you know, the player, what a team first guy he is. So I think a lot of that speaks to Ron more so than any other coach. He values that, those personal aspects, especially in what he's trying to do in Washington. So as I got to know him, in the back of my head, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this guy is like seriously tailor-made for what Ron Rivera is trying to do.
And to piggyback off that point, I think that, you know, he even not only is his family military, not only does he have a fondness for sayings, I think his favorite is you can't have a million-dollar dream with a minimum wage work ethic. There are so many things that fit in that it almost in retrospect looks like he would have made a mistake by passing on him. Almost, I think, to the level that if you're a self-proclaimed pit master and you have a kid go to school at Alabama for 4 years, not going to Archibald in Northport, I would say that it would have been that level of miss.
All right. That's a shot at me. That's from General Sam with his little Civil War beard over there. And nobody can see that, but trust me. Just go Google Andrew Luck, dearest mother, and that's what you could hear. But it is, you know, it is funny with Jamin, and it's the military stuff definitely is going to appeal to Ron and just the way he does it. How did you see that military side? I know he was in the military, but having parents in there, how did you see that, Nikki, and just your dealings, you know, in that story kind of manifest itself?
I think you see a kid that can adapt. I mean, he was born in Honolulu and then, you know, moved to Georgia. And I think a lot of it is in his work ethic. And I asked both his parents, you know, are there some military like traits to the way he approaches the game? And I was trying to get at, you know, his work ethic, his mentality, how he, you know, his mindset with football. And they both kind of hedged at first, but then they kind of realized that, yeah, his focus was very similar to theirs when they were in service. And that he, once he really sets his mind to something, that's it. You know, he really puts his whole mind around it. And, you know, I was talking to his positional coaches, who is now co-defensive coordinator at Kentucky, another former linebacker himself, John Summerall. And, you know, he was saying he never once has to ask Jamin to do more, to study more, to, you know, work harder, anything like that. In fact, he often had to tell him to slow down a bit. And this past year, as he knew he was going to be a starter, really went that extra mile. So you kind of see that same mindset. And I mean, we all know that Ron gravitates toward players that are like that want to become more leaders and, you know, or workhorses and take well to coaching. And he, that's another trait he has.
Hey, Sam, when you look at this, what they've done over the weekend. You know, Ron brought up the speed in the press conference too. How much does that jump out to you as far as what they had, especially on offense?
Yeah, especially on offense, I think with De'Ami Brown, the receiver out of North Carolina, it sticks out most with him, because this is that's the type of guy that when you watch his highlights, there's not a ton of underneath stuff. I mean, he averaged for 2 years in a row 20 or more yards per catch. And so when you talk about, I think back to, it must have been one of the first 4 weeks last year when Ron said, look, you know, we just don't have the players for Scott Turner to make this offense look like he wants it to look. And it's probably not going to be so until 2021. You know, I think back to that because now you are starting to see those pieces. It's not just Curtis Samuel. It's not just these other guys that are going to, you know, that run sub 4.5 times in the 40-yard dash. It's really just building that complete offense with a ton of weapons. And I think you can even look at Samuel Cosmi, right? The tackle out of Texas who had that very nice trick play that he scored on when he caught the pass against West Virginia. So I'm sure Scott Turner, who we know loves trick plays on national TV, will let us see that at least once.
What do you think, Nikki?
I mean, speed was an obvious theme in this draft. I agree with him. I think De'Ami was one of their – to me, it was an interesting pick because I also thought that was more tailored to Ryan Fitzpatrick too. I mean, just he's that deep ball, but it also shows that they're trying to build, you know, a complete receiving core there. I mean, you got the speed and the nuanced receiving, the nuanced route running with Terry McLaurin. You got the speed, sometimes slot can also play outside, and Curtis Samuel. You got your deep threat now, De'Ami Brown. You know, you got your more, I don't want to say permanent, but more slot receiver type, Adam Humphries, and possibly their final pick in Max Milne. So they kind of have a complete receiving core. They really have built around that quarterback position.
And that, which I absolutely agree with. And that's, to me, the interesting thing is going to be, and the big phrase the last year or two has been positional flexibility. And a lot of coaches want that. It's been hammered home here the last 2 years. But I do think when you look at that offense, there is a lot of flexibility with that receiving core because of where, what you can do with Curtis. Terry McLaurin can line up in any spot. And now with Brown, if he comes through, you know, and you watch the college, his college stuff, like those defensive backs were afraid of him. And I don't know that he's a blazer. He just gets open deep. I mean, he's really fast, but I'm thinking in terms of this group, I don't know that he's necessarily the fastest one, but he's going to be fast. And so but he fills a different role being able to go down the field. Samuel is more of a, you know, a lot of his big plays come on underneath stuff. So I think you're right. I mean, it just feels like there's more versatility in this group in addition to the speed.
Yep. Yep.
And one note, I think on positional flexibility, Kime, is that when we talk about Jamin Davis, I think that I to go back to that pick, like, I know it was very popular to think that the Notre Dame kid Jeremiah Owusu-Koramora was a candidate at that spot, and positional flexibility was, I think, one of the main rationales, because, you know, at Notre Dame he played safety, he played nickel, he played, you know, outside linebacker, he could do it all. But I thought in Ron's press conference kind of talking about what he liked about Jamin Davis, it was, hey, this guy can play all three linebacker spots,
right?
Sam, Mike, Will. And so the subtle nuance of when we talk about position flex, not necessarily playing more positions, but playing more positions in that certain group, because Jamin's bigger, you know, and can handle maybe some of those mic responsibilities. I thought that was a really interesting, subtle nuance on position flex that we hadn't necessarily heard before when talking to Ron.
Yeah, and then it also, because now you have a couple guys who can play that because they feel Cole Holcomb can play all those three different spots,
right,
too. So it gives you a little bit of flexibility there. Is there a guy that you're – is there one of these draft picks that you're more intrigued by?
I would say Benjamin St. Juice, just because I'm not entirely sure how they use him. Right. I mean, he was a cornerback at Minnesota. He played some safety at the Senior Bowl. He's got that length. He's got that size. They don't really have a true free safety outside of Troy Apke, so that's still a need for them. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they look to a veteran there just to create competition if there's one out there, Trey Boston. You know, I am curious if that's something they try to develop him in, or if they use him as, you know, Chris Harris says, we're all defensive backs, and kind of rotate him around and kind of see what he's best at.
Yeah, and for me, I think on the edge, we talk about those 2 7th round picks, William Bradley yeah. King out of Baylor and Shaka Toney out of Penn State. I'm curious to see, you know, how they envision those guys, because Martin Mayhew said in the press conference a few minutes ago that both of those guys are would be expected to come in and contribute. I guess obviously you have to temper expectations for a 7th round pick, but when you think about who's behind Montez Sweat and Chase Young, Casey Tuhill, James Smith Williams, but there really isn't a ton of depth there. Ryan Kerrigan is still you know, a free agent, but when asked, you know, if he might be a candidate to come back, Martin said, you know, kind of pointed to those 2 7th round picks and said, you know, those guys were really looking forward to seeing what they do. And to me, it's interesting because I believe it's William Bradley King is really the same size and kind of had a similar scouting report to Ryan Anderson. I'm not saying he's the same player, but when you have a tweener like that, who's 6'3", 250, not necessarily, you know, those bigger guys like Montez and Chase, you know, how do you get them involved? I don't think they ever really figured it out with Ryan. So can they figure it out with some of these younger guys to give them the depth that they need? I think those are my questions heading into mini camp, training camp, the rest of this offseason.
And you know, it's funny you bring up Ryan Anderson, because I had to say, when I saw that his size and weight, I agree with you. The difference with it is that this one is more of a pass rusher. Ryan Anderson was an edge setter in a 3-4. But I do think like they both are probably best in a 3-4, but in a nickel situation, if you have a situational pass rusher out of nickel, that's what they would look for with him. So, but I agree with you. Like I think it's going to be interesting to watch how do those guys do, how much do they want him to put on 10 more pounds, whatever, you know? So I think those are some things. Nikki, anybody intrigued? Oh, you just said Benjamin St. Juice, so yes. Never mind. Is there another person that intrigued you?
The long snapper.
There you go.
I mean, Sam Cheeseman, and he wants to be a dentist. Well, it's not intriguing.
Well, I mean, Sam, I'm surprised. I'm shocked that you didn't say him, given, you know, some of the questions that we know you're going to be asking him over the next couple of years.
My contribution to the Cheeseman conversation is that your colleague Harry Lyles Jr. wrote a nice story about him trying to be a dentist and pointed out that Cameron is Spanish for shrimp. So his name, and in the article, his quote was, "Yes, my name is Shrimp Cheeseman." So I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun with that.
And it was a good article too, I would say that.
Of course, yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I got to be a dad, so that's my contribution there. And it's funny that you brought up Kerrigan too, and I was going to ask you about that too. I mean, basically, Martin Mayhew, I don't know if he slammed the door on that, but certainly, you know,
said,
hey, it's like Gene Hackman said, my team's on the court, you know? So, yeah. I mean, that's how we all took that, right?
That's how I took it. I mean, I don't think anything is absolute, but yeah. And they said throughout the draft too, that they really view the draft as the building blocks to their team, and they view free agency as kind of filling in around that. So I believe him when he says that, you know, they really want to give these guys a shot first. So
it is curious, I think, especially to anyone watching last year, you know, Ryan Kerrigan had, I think, what was it, 5.5 sacks and a little more than 350 snaps. Like he was very efficient and productive. And as he told us at the end of the year, you know, without playing those full-time starter snaps, his body, you know, felt great. He felt like he could still start. I guess, you know, teams around the league maybe, I guess, don't feel the same way. But even when you look at the production that he gave you last year, you have to imagine that as a veteran, he's more of a sure thing than any 2 7th-round picks could be. No disrespect to these guys. Just, you know, it would seem that he would be a dependable player. So I was a little surprised to hear those comments. But, I mean, it does certainly fall in line with the philosophy that, hey, we're going to be building forward. We're going to be developing the future now.
And I think part of it, too, I wonder if for a guy like Kerrigan, if he'd want to come back, because you're coming back to a place where you have this record, but you're last year, you knew you were going to get a role, but now you're coming back with basically a pay cut and a role that, you know, that maybe you don't want to perform. And from there, end, it's like, well, get some younger guys in here. Maybe you can develop into something. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and we, you know, the door was always open for him. So last thing here, what do you feel like, what's the big thing left to do for this group? What's, I guess, the big questions that you still might have?
I think that free safety is really the thing that I don't think they've addressed. And as Nikki said, they could go get a veteran like Trey Boston. But right. When you look at the you know, what is it, six safeties that they have if you count a couple of the guys from this draft, including Derek Forrest. But, you right. know, between Troy Apke and Jeremy Reeves with three career starts, I think he played fine down the stretch, but that's, you know, that's not the answer. And then I think that, or you know, you're not, you can't be confident that that's the answer. Do you flex Cam Curl there? Maybe that's in the plans. Even though he's more of a natural strong, I don't know, but that cap on the defense is so important, as we saw at the beginning of last year, you know, where there were some busted coverages. And really, I think if you go back, Washington allowed 8 or 9 plays of 40 or more yards. And it was really, I think, on that last line of defense that you know, more than half of those were responsible for. So when you talk about, you can talk about, you know, bringing pressure with the pass rush, you can talk about coverage, but to really limit explosive plays, chunk plays, which are, you know, currency in the modern NFL, I think it really, you know, puts a focus on the weakest link of your defense. And last year for Washington, I think that was one of them, was certainly free safety.
All right, Nikki, you're up.
I would stretch it to say the entire safety position, just because there's uncertainty with what is Landon going to be this year. I mean, I know he said he's a strong safety. Do they try him at linebacker just yes. to give Curl more time? So what does that mean for that group? And is DeShazer Everett, is he a strong safety? Is Cam Curl, how do they get him on the field more? And yeah, again, who is your true free safety there? I would also say backup quarterback, which is not a sexy position. I get that, but it's one of your most important on the field. And you know, does it stay, you know, a competition between Heinicke and Kyle Allen? Can they stay healthy? You know, who is your number two? Do they bring somebody else in? Is there another veteran that would be remotely interesting that they try to bring in for competition as camp nears? That to me is slightly interesting only because of its importance.
Well, I think, listen, that's, I'm interested in that too, because I also know there's intrigue with Steven Montez. So I think like he's going to be a guy. The problem is that, you know, when you start to say that now, and it's because it's the off season, people start to extrapolate and go like 10 steps beyond where you need to go. There's just intrigue and like, hey, could this guy do something, get to the preseason games and find out? If not, okay, he's an undrafted free agent. But I think like with this group, they're probably going to decide from one of those. But I think who's going to be the odd person out will be something to watch too. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff. So, thank you guys for coming on. Go out, get a drink, do whatever. You know, groom your beard, whatever you want to do.
Go rally the troops to set sail down the Potomac.
There you go. But seriously, thanks for coming on. You guys are great. Tell people where they can find you too. And obviously they can read your work on WashingtonPost.com, but find you on Twitter.
I'm at Nikki Jabvala, NikkiJhabvala. Easy.
It's just like it sounds.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm at Sam4TR, the number 4TR on Twitter.
See, and Nikki, I still have to spell my name sometimes because people butcher my last name. They switch the I and the E all the time. So there you go. So
the JH part, you're golden. That's all you need.
There you go. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Anytime.
Of course.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options in local news, health, and of course, of the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as the other great content.
What's up? It's Mike Jones from the Football Jones Podcast. I know you're enjoying your time with the John Keim Report, but once you're done, I want to invite you to come over and check out my podcast. Each week, we take a deep dive into some of the most pressing topics around the NFL. High-profile guests from the coach, player, and front office ranks, as well as the top league insiders. Check out the Football Jones Podcast, another fine product brought to you by Empire Media.
That's it for this episode. I appreciate Nikki and Sam joining me. You heard their Twitter handles. Give them a follow. And thank you, as always, for listening. I'll have another podcast out Tuesday night with some insight into Washington's top picks. Talk to you next time.